everyone, and welcome to another edition of Horror Movie News. Today, we are reviewing the new Slice trailer that debuted just last week on last Tuesday, as well as new plot details for the Chucky remake. And lastly, we also have the casting revealed for Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. So all this, much more with our segments. And yeah, let's get to it. It's Horror Movie News!
To Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movie.
Don't you blame the movies!
Good.
Are we good?
Movies?
We good?
Yes. What?
Of course, we're always
good. Are we on air?
Yes!
Is this thing on? Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're on.
Hello, everybody. Turn on the lights.
Ooh, it's always great. Yes, for all you audio listeners, you always miss the spectacular opening. We have flashing lights.
It's a laser light show.
It's a laser light show, everybody.
It's a dance party.
Yep. And welcome, everybody, to Horror Movie News. This is episode 41.
Woo!
We just keep on chugging on. Yes, and it is August 28th here in the studios here in sunny North Hollywood. And I'm your host, Anthony Becerra, and as always, I have the lovable.
What's up? Carrie Lane here.
Hey guys, I'm Oliver Drennan.
Right on. And yeah, we're going to be breaking down the news. So pretty much how this is going to go down, we're going to do some crypt keeping. We're going to tell you where you can find us. We're going to go through our news. So we did restructure the show a little bit. So we're going to hit news first. And lastly, we're going to do our special segments at the end, which is the Abyss and our horror history. And as well as some, we're going to sprinkle some shout outs throughout the way, you know. And we actually have a live read promoting another show on this network as well. So let's get into it. First up, Crypt Keeping, where you can find us on youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. And if you want to reach us, get at us, send us any love, any messages, you can always reach us at horrornewsptn on Twitter. I am working on an Instagram as well, so keep that in mind. There'll be lots of pictures. As well, you can find this on popcorntalknetwork.com. on our official website. And last but not least, if you go Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcast, just type in Horror Movie News, and luckily just look for this thumbnail that's right behind me, and that'll be us. And you can leave us a review, which some people have, and I'll shout them out at the end of the episode. But yeah, for now, let's get started with some news.
Yes.
So I want to start off with the Slice trailer, if we can get that going. We will be talking over it, but this trailer, I love this trailer. Did you guys check this out at all?
No.
Okay,
yet.
So
but it's good because I want to be like have that first impression ready for you.
Yeah, it's wild.
I remember you mentioned this like a long time
ago. They had that teaser trailer
with the pizza.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I it's pretty great. It's so let me read the synopsis of what's going on. So when a pizza delivery driver is murdered on the job, the city searches for someone to blame. Ghosts, drug dealers, a disgraced werewolf. Just going off that synopsis, you can tell like the wild and like the zaniness of this film.
Yeah.
And also the stars are phenomenal. We got Zazie Beetz, we got Hannibal Buress, we got Chance the Rapper and Paul Scheer up in here.
So it's kind of like a horror comedy.
It's definitely a horror comedy. Yeah. Like
down.
Some of the people who've like described it say it's just wild. It's just like nuts. And I'm all for it.
Yeah. It looks a little supernatural too.
Like, supernatural. There's like werewolf and ghost.
All right.
So yeah, it's like a super campy absurd horror comedy. That's Chance right there.
Oh my gosh.
And it is coming. There's no release date yet, but it is coming soon, and it should be released this year, I believe.
Yeah.
They might push it back. Who knows? We'll see. But yeah, it's like a super campy, absurd horror comedy. There's werewolves, there's ghosts, there's Zazie, and there's pizza. I'm all in for it.
So it's going to make me really hungry while I'm enjoying people getting slaughtered.
And it's gonna make you question whether you're going to want pizza again and want it delivered to your door.
I'm always going
to
want pizza.
You know, it's funny. This is totally making me think. I'm like, I never got to see it, but I love the trailer. There was a Bollywood movie called Pizza, and it's a guy going to a house, and there's weird, mysterious stuff happening there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they've made another horror movie around the concept of pizza
delivering.
That's awesome. Hilarious.
Yeah, just a little quick background on the director of this. His name is Austin Vaselli, and he wrote and directed this as well. And it's funny because he's never really directed a film before.
Mm.
He's done music videos.
Oh, okay.
And he did two with Chance the Rapper, and they became great friends. At least I believe that's where it goes. So he directed Angels, that video for Chance, and also one called Sunday Candy. So if you're a fan of Chance the Rapper, he directed those two music videos. And then he's just like, I'm going to make a movie with him. And A24 is like, you got it, dude. So that's pretty much how this came into fruition. So that was pretty cool. Definitely keep an eye out for that. And we'll keep you updated once we get the release date for that. But yeah, that's definitely one I'm pretty excited for. On to our next bit of news item. I believe Ollie's got us covered with this one.
Oh, do we? Wait, which one is it?
Yeah, it's going to be your first one. It's I believe it has something to do about animated... There. No. I put it
in. Oh, yeah, it's a little... Where is it? I'm so sorry. Okay, here we go. I got it. It's all mixed up for some reason.
Right on, my bad.
I apologize, viewers and listeners.
Restructuring!
Okay, so we got the new plot details on the Chucky remake or reboot, whatever you want to call it, and how it's going to be different from the original. Because this seems a little pretty drastic for me. I feel like the original was a lot more supernatural, but this seems to be a little bit more grounded. I feel like a lot of films are being more grounded. So basically, early plot details referred to this as a more of a robot doll rather than a killer being transferred into like an actual doll.
Mm. What?
So this is...
Then why bother calling it Chucky? Just give it a new name.
Chuckbot.
Because I think people will be like, oh, they're stealing from Child's Play. So I don't know. But anyways, this is provided by comicbook.com. And according to the site's unnamed sources, the new Chucky is a defective buddy doll whose programming code was hacked so that he has no limitations to learning and also, you know, violence. Awesome, right?
Yeah. You know.
So they added that the doll apparently gets reprogrammed by a Chinese factory worker who ends up committing suicide after removing the doll's limitations for whatever reason. So what are your guys' thoughts on this? This sounds a lot different than what we're used to.
That's interesting.
I think it sounds cool, but why bother calling it Chucky then? Mm-hmm. Like, just new thing. Crazy doll.
I know this is a weird question, but like, is Chinese fact? Is he in China or is it? Because maybe it's like a whole commentary on like overworkers in China and how like we benefit off of their work and our technology and making the doll something that's technology and wreaking havoc on us Americans. It's kind of like them getting back at us in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I might be reading a lot too into it. I haven't even seen it.
Does any bit of that evil spirit go into the doll kind of idea? Like, that's more with like Japanese mythology ones of like, if there's a violent death, you know, it creates an evil. So I wonder if in this there's something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, like that's the thing. It's telling us that there is none of that. Well, at least from what I'm reading, it's saying that what I'm hearing right now, it's saying that there's none of that.
It seems like it's more artificial.
Yeah. So it's like it's more like a person, and let them know it's a Chinese factory worker reprogramming this thing to kill to give off the limitations, and then he kills himself. And that's like, and I know they like in like, I've heard about like factories in China who have like the suicide nets and everything and how like they're overworked and how there's no like union or such thing over there. So it's like, it's interesting.
Well, horror does do a good job making commentary.
Like social commentary. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, is this like a play on all that? I don't know. But one can only wait and see, I guess, you know? Yeah. It does sound very interesting. It does pique my interest a lot. I haven't seen the previous Chucky films. I'm still planning on watching all of them eventually down the line.
Yeah, it'll just be interesting to see how this is like translated, because like how the doll gets to obviously like, you know, America.
Yeah, if he did, like, if there's a, like the whole opening scene, him getting shipped to America and stuff. Shipped, you know,
I was like, what if someone bought it there and brought it back?
That too, it'd be like a weird black market, like Chucky.
Traveling or something,
yeah.
But do you guys like? What do you guys think of like supernatural kind of being like put to the back burner? Whereas like it's more grounded with horror. It seems
it's more relevant, and I think it aids the whole social commentary it might be going for.
Okay,
what do you guys think?
I'd say ditto, but then again, it's like then it's very different, and then it. Yeah, it's what we'll updated. See. Yeah,
you know, like, not that many people are like, oh, that Hubba Baloo with that spirits things. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I think people are more like, no, let's do, like, technology-based.
I think the paranormal, like, genre is a little bit, like, overplayed at this point a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Especially with everything like paranormal activity and stuff like that. So I think people want to take a break from that a little bit.
I mean, overall, it's like a new take, too, in a sense, you know?
Westy Kid in the chat said, was the good guy doll made in China? I think the original, it was a factory here.
I think so, too.
Like Detroit or something like that.
Yeah, because I think so. Yeah, I think it was in
I thought it was here.
No, I think it was in the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, because like that's how it was like the killer was in the U.S. So.
Yeah, he was on the run from a heist at the time, right? And then that's, and he was American, so I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Look it up. Westy kid, help us out, bro.
Good question.
But yeah, good question. Interesting. Right on. So that covers first two items. And now on to our third, Carrie.
Yes. I hope some of you as a young person or as an adult read these scary stories to tell in the dark. They have the most disturbing imagery ever. But it's being made into a movie, if you didn't know. And filming is about to begin with director Andre Ovredal, his adaptation of it. And it is for CBS Films, and it's being produced by Guillermo del Toro. Ooh, also, so that's your buddy.
I know. Also, real quick, Andre Ovredal, he's the director of Trollhunters, if you guys have seen that one.
Yeah, that one's a good one. So.
Exactly. So it's like,
yes. So the, as we mentioned earlier, the cast has been revealed. So young actress Zoe Coletti was one of the first to be announced for the ensemble. And now the full cast has been announced, including Michael Garza from Wayward Pines, Hunger Games, Austin Abrams from Brad's Doubtless the Americans, Gabriel Rush, Moonrise Kingdom, Grand Budapest Hotel, Austin Zajur, sorry if I said that wrong, Fist Fight,
and
Natalie Ganzorn from Make It Pop and Wet Bum. That's a fun name. So inspired by one of the terrifying book series of all time, Scary Stories in the Dark, follows a group of teens who must solve the mystery surrounding a wave of spectacularly horrific deaths in their small town. Woohoo, small town weird stuff always goes down. So yes, Lego Movie and Trollhunters. So co-wrote the screenplay with Guillermo del Toro and what else are we? So it's, where are we? I was like trying to, I have more info than I need. So also on Twitter, there's a tweet, someone tweeted at del Toro and was like, so is it going to look like the book? And he said, yes.
Yeah.
I love that that was the reply. I'm like, yes. So the art was by Stephen Gamel.
Yeah.
And it's expected to release in 2019.
Ooh, that's awesome.
So I'm excited because those books were wonderfully disgusting looking.
Yeah, if you guys listen to that and get excited and you want to learn more about it, just look up those books for sure.
And that article and the artist via bloodydisgusting.com.
Right on. Yeah, one of my favorite websites to get most of my news. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's
place.
Really exciting, though.
Right on.
It's a good book series.
Yeah, so if you, so also just to,
oh wait, I did send a picture. Did we get that picture?
No, I refrained from pictures today.
Yeah, oh no worries. go look at the books and imagine that becoming real.
Cause I know.
I'm hoping that's where they're going, and it kind of sounds like that's what they're gonna try to do.
It's also very vivid imagery that's not like too far from reality, which made it so
thing.
Yeah, which makes that's it so creepy. On the site. Yeah. I put one up for our thumbnail as well.
Oh yes, yeah. Yes, that was the one.
It's funny how powerful they are because you remember those from like as an adult, reading those and seeing those pictures.
Those things creep me out. Like I knew it was for
very,
kids,
and they were very simple stories. They were not at all like they weren't like hard. Well, I mean, it's children's.
They're not
book,
too complicated,
but like
no.
They were so powerful enough to let that like ingrain in your mind. Like I still remember those pictures so vividly.
And yeah, some of them kind of had a cool Twilight Zone twist. Like one of them, I remember, is this like giant head skull thing with like little body chasing after someone, and then finally it's like, tag, you're it. And, like, that's the end of the story.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of funny.
So, yeah.
It seems so monstrous.
So, yeah, they had, like, a weird, like, whimsical but also very dark aspect to them. Mm-hmm.
And I hope the movie is pretty dark.
Yeah. Yeah. But also to keep that whimsical because that's also very creepy for me. Where it's, like, something's dark but it's also, like,
I just don't want it to be, like, too much, like, Goosebumps, you know? Because, like,
it should be darker
it's good.
Than that.
Yeah. It's like, no disrespect to Goosebumps, but I feel
that
like...
that really good, too.
Yeah,
that's...
Yeah.
Well, let's say Goosebumps is, like... 8 to 10 year olds, and this would hopefully be more the 12
pre-teens.
To 16 range.
Right.
I suppose it's a little dark, you know, especially with it being with murders.
I could see this being PG-13. Mm-hmm. For
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm interested in see how they're going to also just make everything cohesive with the different stories.
Yeah.
It's an actual, like, because you know, I was thinking that it could be possibly like an anthology before like everything got released.
That would be cool.
But I don't think I that's like that. Popular.
They could have an anthology within the film, though.
Yeah.
Like Trick or Treat style.
Yeah,
Trick or Treat
totally. Style. Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like sometimes, I don't know if like mainstream audiences really like anthologies.
No, I think
know.
They do. I mean,
do
look at the success of like American Horror Story and like American Crime Story.
Or at least with like film, you know.
With film, I mean, yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah,
Cat's Eye, Stephen King one. Well, that was like three shorts in one film, but that was a long time ago. And then I'd say Trick or Treat's probably the most successful recent one.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah.
If you know of other good horror anthologies, please comment down below.
Good call. Right on. So, yeah, so if you've noticed, like, the structure of how it's going, like, I say a story, then you guys follow suit, pretty much. Or it's like, we all say our own stories, in a sense. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It's so, like popcorn. Pop, pop,
pop. Yeah, exactly. So, like you did in school. All right, pick the next person. All right. But, yeah, now I want to kind of, like, educate you guys, our viewers and listeners, on a show that I work on every Friday. It goes live at 9 a.m. every Friday. It's called Meet the Movie Press. So I just got a little something I want to read to you all.
Cool.
Movie fans, do you want a single destination to find all the best updates, news, and insider info about the industry? The best place to find it is at the Popcorn Talks Meet the Movie Press. Every week, insiders Simon Thompson, Scott Menzo, and Dimitri Panos break down all the industry's biggest news stories, from box office numbers to celebrity updates. Sometimes serious, sometimes funny, but always credible. Meet the Movie Press is the ultimate podcast for movie junkies. Subscribe on iTunes to listen on demand, or tune in live at 9 a.m. every Friday, only on the Popcorn Talk Network here on YouTube. And yeah, we'll see you there. And I know a lot of some of our viewers are also on that, since I monitor the chat on that, and I'm the one producing that show as well. So yeah, just want to shout them out. You know, they're trying to grow their audience strength and whatnot, and in return, we'll get our own little shout out on their show as well.
Sweet. I was going to say, real quick, Media Shock in the chat pointed out the anthology one is Creepshow. That one's a little older, but yes, excellent one. But then I thought about it, I'm like, oh yeah, ABCs of Death 1 and 2, and all the VHS movies are technically anthologies as well.
Yeah, also XX.
Yeah. Because VHS, they're like, there's one arcing plot, and then the little ones, XX, had all separate.
Right on.
Yeah, that's a question. I guess that's a question real quick for the panel. With your anthology, do you like when they're interwoven or separate? Or, like, ABC's of Death, the only connection is the letters.
Right.
VHS, there's one overarching plot with, like, little ones. And then with Trick or Treat, it's all kind of interwoven but separate.
In the background.
Yeah, which one do you like best?
I personally like the Trick or Treat one, because it feels so fluid that you don't realize. Like, at first, I didn't even realize it was an anthology film until people started pointing it out. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. They go into all these little stories. Like, and they're all, like, in a sense, their own kind of contained vacuum. But overall, it's all about, like, the people in the town and Halloween. So I really enjoyed that one. But I don't mind any of them, really.
Yeah. I think with that one, you get the best of both worlds. And it's just cohesive and it's very enjoyable.
Yeah, so it's definitely my favorite.
Yeah.
As long as it's done well, I think Trick or Treat style is, like, the most rewarding. When it's separate, but then you find out how they're connected, then you're just like, what? Mind blown.
Especially for, like reviewability, you know? You want to rewatch it and be like, oh, look at that. Like, you see him in the background and stuff.
Yeah.
Also, shout out back to Westykin in the chat. Says, in Seed of Chucky, it was written on Chucky's son's wrist, made in Japan. The whole family has made in Japan on them. So they we'll see. Maybe the new one, it's made in China.
Made in China, yeah.
We'll find out.
We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, on to my next news story here. So pretty much it's Luca Guadagnino, who is, sorry, it's so very hard to pronounce, but he's a director of Call Me By Your Name, who was nominated for Oscars, I believe, won some, I'm not sure, I can't remember. But yes, so he shared some of his hopes as to what he expects audiences feel and kind of like take away from Suspiria, since Suspiria is almost here. It's like, I believe it's slated for November. So I just want to like see drop some of these quotes that he said that I found very interesting. So one of the things this is him talking about what he wants audiences to go kind of take from it. So he goes, quote, I hope that the movie comes across as a relentless experience that's going to go deep into your skin, all the way down into your spine. I want the movie to perform as the most disturbing experience you can have. The movie is about being immersed in a world of turmoil and uncompromising darkness. Last time I felt that was with Hereditary. So, like, he's got a pretty high bar, too.
Yeah, Hereditary, or maybe even Mother. Like, those were some really stressful movies.
That was stressful, yeah. That was stressful, but it wasn't, like, the sense of dread for me, though.
I forget what streaming platform, but Mother is available streaming now.
Netflix?
I think it might be Hulu.
Oh, no, I think it's Hulu. Yeah, you're right.
So those of us like me who haven't seen it, I'm like, Maybe I'll add that to my
quick side tangent. So I mentioned like a couple weeks ago that I had an app that I like to use to look up where I can find films on streaming platforms. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's on Android, but on iOS, there's a app called Just Watch. Hashtag not sponsored. Hashtag not sponsored. But I love it. It's you make a profile, you sign in, you add what you have streaming service wise, and you can also add if you just want it stream for free or you want it just if you want to buy and rent.
Oh, like as Amazon could have
exactly,
it as a buy
or like
and rent.
Also one I use is Vudu.
Oh, uh-huh.
And also, it gives you, like, updates every day of, like, oh, these films just dropped that you can rent / buy or watch online for free. Mm-hmm. And that's where I find most of, like, if I'm looking for a film, I pop up that app, I type it in, and it tells me where I can find it, if I can stream it for free or if I can download it. So just a quick little tangent. Look it up. It's literally just called Just Watch. And it's got a little yellow play sign. This color scheme is like yellow and blue. So yeah, if you're like me where I watch most of my stuff online, it's very useful to find these films. So going back to what he said, I really enjoy that quote. He's really striving to really make this film very upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've seen and from the trailer it gives off, I get that feeling as well. He has a little bit too because... The original film was very vibrant with colors, and it became a really great aesthetic. Dario Argento really, really made the colors pop so much. And what I noticed right away is that this film, it's kind of like drained of the colors, and it's like the complete polar opposite of what the original was, which I found interesting. And I appreciate this new take because he's not just trying to like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so he kind of talks on that, and I would like to read that quote as well on the color palette. And so this is pretty much why he didn't go with the original. He goes, Dario Argento, and let's face it, Luciano Tovoli, his wonderful DP, they decided to go for an extremely expressionistic way of decoding horror, which started from the work of Mario Bava. I think everything that could have been said through that style has been said. So that's pretty much like, I'm not touching that. Like, they've done enough with that. So this is referring to his film. And he also sheds light about, like, in a sense, the context of, like, the mind of what this film is about, in a sense. And he goes, this is a movie about Berlin in 1977, a country that is almost on the verge of civil war. It was a period that was called the German Autumn. And that led me, my production designer, my costume designer, and the director of photography to go for browns and blacks and blues and greens, all muted and juxtaposed so that we could, in a way, encompass the idea of a German autumn. Hmm. That's why the colors are not primary. They do not pop at you. I hope that they infiltrate you and they go deep into you. Mm-hmm. And in hearing that, I was just like, okay. So it's kind of like... Like what I'm getting from that is like the colors are very subtle, but they're gonna seep into, I think, your subconsciousness, not like right away, but they're gonna play with your mind the more you see them on the mm-hmm. screen, and they're gonna seep into like how he says that they want them to seep into you. Like that's like kind of channeling the like not just the front level. It's like it's not the tip of the iceberg. It's
It'll
what's
be
underneath that
subtle in the back that you pick up on.
Yeah. Even with like I can that makes sense a lot because I feel like with Dakota's character, like she has the red hair, so like I'm already like picture her as like the red orange, like that red orange color. So that kind of like, whereas there's like that's the only color that I really noticed within the trailers and the promotional images. That totally makes sense. Like I use the color orange and red to refer to her character.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. There's that shot of Tilda Swinton, also in like dressed in a red veil, looking like robe. And everything else around there is like very grayed out.
Muted.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful shot. Mm-hmm. What do you
like? Media Shock says Anthony in the chat says Anthony can read me a bedtime story anytime.
Oh, thank you. I guess I have that kind of voice. All right. So yeah, that's my second news item. Ollie, do you want to go next?
Oh yes, here I go. I won't f this up this time.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about that.
So, this is borderline horror because the Joker. Let's face it. There's going to be some death in this in the Joker origin film that's coming up with Joaquin Phoenix, who this is news to me. I didn't even know that Joaquin Phoenix is going to be the Clown Prince.
I'm excited for this.
Yeah, because he's a phenomenal actor. But guess who else joined the cast? It is none other than Alec Baldwin.
What?
That's insane. Like, I don't know.
I saw that on Twitter and I was like,
It's a little strange.
It's interesting. I mean, we have Kristen Wiig going to be Cheetah, so it's like... It's okay if comedy actors are, like, going into these roles.
They can do series.
So, like, I'm not even going to, like, prejudge. I need to see the film to cast my judgment.
Yes.
But anyways, so he's going to be playing Batman's father, Bruce's father. So that's going to be... He's not going to...
Oh.
Well, we'll see how long he lasts. But, yeah, this film already has such an amazing cast behind it, which I was not aware of. Frances Conroy, she's an American Horror Story alum. Ooh. She's awesome. Robert De Niro, like, are you kidding me? This is gonna be like a crime, like crazy. It doesn't seem like it's gonna be superhero. We've already mentioned her previously, who's gonna be in Slice, Zazie Beetz.
I read that just now.
She's
like, what?
Killing it with, oh my god, this girl, she's awesome.
Yeah, I love her. Yeah,
and Marc Maron. So this cast is like an ensemble for sure. But more about the film, it's gonna be reportedly be made on a $55 million production budget.
Yes.
And it's being described...
Cheap.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's being described as darker and more experimental in tone and content.
I'm down for it. I'm so down for it. So. This feels like a Blumhouse Tilt kind of thing, or like a subsidiary of the main, like, DC, you know,
Which they
brand.
Probably should try, because it's like, come on, try something different.
By this point, they should try anything to improve on what they got. Like,
I think...
Jesus Christ.
They're definitely going to learn from their past mistakes with... Yeah. Suicide Squad and Jared Leto's Joker.
Okay. Right. I mean, I hope so. Yeah. I like the darker and more experimental in tone content.
Because I think what...
And also it's cheaper. Yeah. Like, you're not... Don't go for blockbuster. Just make a solid film. Mm-hmm. I like when films, big, like, studios restrain themselves, because it leads to more innovation and it leads to personally more, like, creative filmmaking.
The word that excites me most is experimental.
Yeah.
And I think that what hurt Suicide Squad so much was just the humor that they incorporated with, like, all the reshoots and whatnot. So let's not go for humor in, like, the Joker, who is, like, such an evil character. He abuses Harley. Like, I'm not even going to go into that. But, yeah, let's just go full-on serious, dark, gritty for Joker.
What I want this film to accomplish will be that I want to see the Joker rise, like, the you know, because I'm guessing it's an origin story, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is.
Origin?
Duh.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I want to see him, like, how he becomes a Joker slowly. So I want to see all the horrible things he does, but I want to be able to still empathize with him. I want to be able to, like, still question my own morality of, like, do you like this character or not? Because he's a villain. Like, this can't be an anti-hero. He can't be, like, a, you know, a Byronic hero in this. He's got to be the bad guy in this.
Mm-hmm.
He is... this is a killer. Like, this... We want to see him kill, you know? And I hope it does that. I think it'd be really interesting. I love films that make me sympathize with the evil person. And that's actually coming up, if we get to it, for M, for Horror History, which is M.
Let's do it.
But, yeah, let's get on to our next story, Carrie. I believe you have...
So I do have a trailer.
Yes, it's
and we can play the trailer because it's all subtitled. So, Stree. So this is a new Bollywood film, and if you don't know, I'm super into Bollywood movies. But I was really excited about this one because it is horror and comedy and looks really good. And Bollywood doesn't really do horror much, and I've seen some, and they've been very like, you know, like, they have potential. It's really interesting seeing horror from other countries. Like, how do they approach horror?
Right.
So this one is also interesting because the beginning of the trailer, they're like, based on the true phenomenon. They're ridiculously true phenomenon. And I was like, what? So I had to look this up. So it's a legend called Nale Ba. And it was, and yes, there will be a song and dance at least once in the movie at some point. And I love the song already. So this was an urban legend that went viral in, like, the 1990s in Karnataka. And the myth goes, a witch roams the streets in the night and knocks on the door. The witch apparently spoke in the voice of your kin so you would be deceived to open the door. And if you opened it, you would die. So the residents came up with a smart idea of writing Nale Ba, which means come tomorrow, in the local language, Kannada, outside the doors and on the walls of their houses. So when the ghost read it and it goes away... the cycle will repeat. So apparently they thought this would work. Now, this seems really strange to us today, but this was, you know, in the 90s in a really small town. You know, nobody really kind of looked up the truth on it. So probably right. started somewhere and then, like, just
telephoned out.
Freaked out, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Also, this eventually led to April 1st being referred to as the Nale Ba Day amongst locals.
Right.
There's no really easy explanation, but one I found, somebody kind of theorized that local crime, that's where criminals would strike fear in people, and then, like, you know, they would only really know after. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, that's a good point. Like, if criminals made people think that this was happening and then how they could do break-ins or something. I don't know. So I wasn't able to find any, like, the real truth of it, but this sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
So in this trailer, guy meets pretty girl, and then the beginning of the trailer is super funny, and by now, it actually gets kind of creepy.
Yeah, it starts getting creepy. Yeah. I love this, the tonal shift in this.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
The music was amazing, by the way. We were jamming out. I don't know if you guys saw it. Like,
yes.
Ollie was getting it.
There's actually, and there's two other songs that, one is a promotional for the song, so I don't know if it'll play during. Sometimes they play in the credits. No, there's another one, too. Mm. And it looks so cool.
Right on.
So the idea is, like, calling your name and you can't reply.
Also, the production to this looks amazing.
It does.
Yeah, it
yes.
looks really, like, well put together, you know?
I'm excited. The girl, I really like the lead actress in this.
She's beautiful.
And
oh, yeah, she is.
Like, I saw, where's her name?
Beautiful.
Shraddha Kapoor and Rajkumar Rao is the lead guy. Normally, I've seen him be really comedic, so this looks kind of in between for him, and I'm excited. So it comes out on Friday.
But local limited
probably
release,
check
right?
smaller yeah. theaters or ones that play foreign films.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to come out of VOD eventually, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So. Right on. Thank you for that. Yeah, keep that in mind. Stree coming out. If you're local, try to watch it. If not, just probably wait for VOD and use that app, I guess.
I hope they're Edgar, I hope you're referring to this movie. He did a bunch of smiley faces.
But yeah, all right, cool. Actually, can we do your story next?
Real quick. It's super quick. Yeah. I just have a
trailer for I Think We're Alone Now.
Yeah, it's like not even a minute long.
Yeah, it's very short.
It's a post-apocalyptic film that I was unaware of, starring Peter Dinklage and Elle Fanning. It's called I Think We're Alone Now, not the Tiffany song. I think we're alone.
I saw
now.
Sundance laurels there.
But yeah, it's very mysterious. I have no clue what's going on. But quick synopsis is the apocalypse proves a blessing in disguise for one lucky recluse, who is Peter Dinklage, until a second survivor arrives with a threat of companionship.
I love that. The threat of companionship.
So, yeah.
So this is directed by Reed Morano, and I believe she directed 3 episodes of The Handmaid's Tale. And she's
nice.
Also the cinematographer for this film as well as the director.
Oh, very cool.
So I really like the tone of this overall.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this. It's coming out, when is this, September? I believe September 14th in theaters. And I think the 21st in VOD, don't quote me on that, but you can check that out. You can look it up on its official page, and I'm sure it'll tell you where you can find that. So, yeah, we'll be sure to include release dates from now on. So, yeah, so that was a trailer for I Think We're Alone Now. And my last bit of news, it's a very short one. So, pretty much, there's been a lot of uproars going around about, like, you know, ratings changing and stuff. Like, the Meg was fiddled with, Slender Man was gutted and butchered.
Yeah.
The potential of Venom being a great film is on the verge of not being good because it might be PG-13. But luckily, there's one film that is sticking true to what they're going for, and that's The Predator. It's gonna have a rated R film, rated R rating, and he even tweeted a year ago. Shane Black tweeted, "PG-13 is for, I'm gonna say it's a word that rhymes with wussies." And yeah, so he said, "PG-13 is for wussies. Spines bleed a lot." Hey, so
I would reference Betty White's quote on that of what's stronger.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, right, exactly. Yeah. So expect strong, bloody violence, language throughout, and crude sexual references. So we're nearing the end of our show here. So now we're going to get into our special segments.
Yes.
Let's see. So we're going to try to get into this really quickly. Let's just briefly go over the movies that we've watched. Who wants to go first?
Mine will be super quick because I just watched them and they're old and they're not necessarily like, you have to go see them. But I finally saw the Tom Cruise, The Mummy, and I didn't hate it. I know, everyone's like, oh, I know. It's not amazing. The 90s one is by far superior, but I thought this one had some interesting concepts and we're checking out, at least for free. And then I also finally saw Split, which I did like, but I think I had different kind of expectations, which I didn't quite know. So it was a little more subdued than I expected.
Okay.
But I love the performances in it. I'm really excited. Now, is the I think we had said on here, like, the teaser or the twist at the end, is that more just the how it's connected to other stuff?
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, exactly.
So that kind of, I was thinking more of a twist. So that was like,
if you're in theaters you already, and you saw that, and people lost their
itch. And you kind of already, you knew.
You already knew that. Okay, going in.
But if you haven't seen it yet, I do recommend it, especially with the new ones coming out. I was like, oh, I need to get on this.
So Carrie says thumbs up to both Split and also.
I'll give Split a really good thumbs up. And the Mummy's like middle, especially if you get it for free, thumbs up.
Oh. All right. If it's free, if it's free, you should watch it. Ollie, you want to take over real quick?
My quick film is Feral. It's a 2017 film. It's basically about this group of college students who, last year.
What is it called again?
Feral.
Feral.
And this group of college students, I believe they just got done graduating, so they're just like taking a trip in the mountains and whatnot. And one of them ends up getting attacked by a creature, which was very well done. Like, I really like the creatures.
The look of it?
Just like
the design?
You have to see it to see how creepy it is.
I'm down.
But the film didn't get good reviews, which I can see why. It kind of has that like early 2000s nostalgic feel of like Cabin Fever or like Wrong Turn, which I really liked, but it didn't add anything new, I felt like. But it's a solid film, I think. It's not a game changer. It stars Scout Taylor Compton, who is a scream queen in her own right. She was in the Halloween remake or reboots with Rob Zombie, so I know you're but like I think, and also my one criticism also is just that the acting was good at some points, and sometimes it was a little bit, like, cheesy. Mm. But yeah, like I said, solid. Check it out.
Yeah.
If you're bored.
Right on.
So I got excited during, because I was like, wait, I did watch another horror movie. I saw The Bye Bye Man.
Okay.
Which was good. I'll do it that way, because, like, people hated the acting. I went on IMDb, and people hated the acting on it, and you get no info on this creature mythology, and there was some kind of legend that would have made it better. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind the acting, but kind of like a 90s vibe horror movie, but 2000.
So the mythos of the
good. What the Bye Bye Man is, you get nothing on where it came from, what it is,
more of that.
Yeah,
okay,
but right interesting on. And some cool visuals.
So midway.
That's maybe more a 3/4.
Jesus, all right. trying to be simple.
I have stuff. Thumbs up enough for me.
All right, I'm gonna do mine. So I'm dedicated to watching all of John Carpenter's horror films, and I started with this first one. So within the incoming weeks, I'll be doing more of John Carpenter since he's my favorite because he did The Thing. So I started with Halloween from 1978. It was his first horror film after Dark Star and I believe Assault in Precinct 13. It was phenomenal. I really liked this movie. Jamie Lee Curtis, where she got her one of her earliest start. Donald Pleasance as Dr. Loomis, obsessed with Michael. Like, he's been a doctor for 15 years. I thought it was really cool. I love the opening scene where it's like the tracking shot and he puts on the mask and then he grabs it. I love when he grabs the knife. It's like the most weirdest looking shot and I loved it so much. And also when they finally like reveal it and he takes off his mask and it's just a kid who's just like just blank stared and he's just like so jaded because he just killed his sister and everything. And that shot of him like kind of zooms out slowly and everything is just so cool. I really enjoyed that. I saw that very late last night and it was fantastic. Also, there's a call to The Thing, that one of the first movies that they're watching as, because it's Halloween night and they're babysitting, and the first movie that they show on the TV screen is called, it's Howard Hawks, The Thing, and you see like the letters slowly start to appear, and I was like, you already see the seeds where he's like, I want to do this movie, and I was just like, that's awesome. So Halloween, if you haven't seen it, from 1978, definitely check it out. It's awesome. I really enjoyed it. And now
do you feel it holds up?
Yes, for sure. Yes. Yeah, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Steve, what do you think? Should I try to do horror history or save it? All right, let's do it. So yeah, we're gonna get into our horror history segment. We got 3 minutes on the clock. So Steve, when you're ready, just hit me up. All right, so I need to explain the segment. Pretty much it's horror history. I'm going through a book, 100 horror films to watch before you die. This is the next one up in that list. It's and so pretty much I just talk about why it's important and why it what it did for the horror genre and what it contributed. All right, so I'm ready. Let's get started. Okay, cool. So the movie's called M, just the letter M, by in 1931 by Fritz Lang. He's a director who also did Metropolis, which is a very famous sci-fi film early in its days. You can rent it on Amazon for about $3 if you have that. It started Peter Lorre as Hans Beckert, who is the infamous child killer, and that's why M stands for murder, really. The synopsis is, when the police in a German city are unable to catch a child murderer, other criminals join the manhunt. So this section is why it's important. So it's claimed as one of the best serial killer movies. It also dares to compare the law enforcement along with the organized crime in the city of where the killer is running rampant. Like, they show similarities in them. And M explores and reveals how the mind of a serial killer works and explains how his role within the social fabric of the society, which is interesting because not a lot, like, really deal with that. Since he's a serial killer, he has multiple victims, and, like, the more they come up, the more the city's like, what are we doing? Like, law enforcement and the organized gangs are like, we have to do something about this guy, because then the police are cracking down more on the city, and that means they're cracking down more on us. We can't operate how we used to, because this guy's going around killing children. We have to get him. And it's interesting how it does that. And this is a subtext of M. So it's a study of unstoppable desires and punishment. And by unstoppable desires, the man, the main killer, he can't... It's revealed towards the end that he can't help himself to kill. It's like he has like a Jekyll and Mr. Hyde personality. And this is a song that he whistles when he's on the prowl to get children, and it's very crazy. And you can think of like how it's steady and it goes crazy, and that's how his character is throughout the film, how he can't control his urges. And so it also, it's about like Fritz Lang's pessimistic view of the future is shown here, because he thinks that we have no future since the future lies within the next generation after us, the kids, and he's going off killing kids. It's summed up nicely with a line from the grieving mother saying that their failure was that they couldn't keep a closer watch on their children. And even today that kind of holds up, where like it's hard to keep track of what our children is. Like, think about like searching and like how you don't really know your children because of like social media and all that stuff. Personal highlights: the ending trial scene is amazing, and how he pleads to the crowd of like how he makes his case to like, I can't help it that I need to kill, like, it's not my fault that I was born this way, I didn't ask for this, it's just something that's in me and I can't control it. And then it's really compelling, because it does help you like empathize with the killer that's a child murderer, but you also, you're like, dang, he's still a person under all that nastiness. And it's very great, and it's all in black and white. It's one of the first like talkies, and it's almost not even considered horror. Dang. All right.
You
killed us all. Dang it.
So I tried to fit as much as I could. I did skip some stuff, but that's okay. So that was our segment for horror history. I hope you, I don't know what that was. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Every week I do a film like that. And next week's film, I have it. It's the next one in the book. And I'm actually pretty excited.
Sorry to interrupt you there, but is it chronological?
Yes, it goes in order from like years. But there are 100. There are some that slip within the crack, but for the most part, this is a good like just base off.
Yeah,
just
to start off. Cool.
And if you buy the book, you can like follow along and stuff. Like, I get some of my information from the book itself. I also have this website called classichorror.com.
Yeah.
And it has like deep dives into classic horror, and I get my notes from there. For next week's film, we're going to be doing Frankenstein from 1931, and it's one of the like the great universal horror monsters and everything. Where to find it? If you have Stars, the subscription service, it's free on there, but also you can rent it on any VOD platform as well for probably like $3, so definitely worth watching. It's a classic. So Steve, do you think we have time for some quick fan epithets? Okay, so just live chat, just shout some people out in the live chat.
Yes, please. Hello everybody in the chat. We have Wellington, Media Shock, Sky Patterson, Westy Kid, Star Drew. See if there's anybody who said just hello at the top.
You said Wellington, right?
I did.
And also Wellington commented on it.
Edgar Alves.
Yeah.
Yes, so we have a live chat going, so if you're watching this live, thank you so much for joining us. If you watch it later, please comment down below your thoughts on all the stuff we talked about.
Yes, yeah. Really appreciate it. Also, we had some new iTunes reviewers, and I want to shout out Shadows 1192 and Dust gave us all 5 stars and everything. And even gave us a bit of advice as to, like, when we cover a movie, say the name of it at the top and name of it at the bottom once we're done with it. So keep that in mind for future news coverage.
That's like a little
producing for you right there.
It's like you go see a band and then they don't say their name again and you're like, cool, yeah. Who were you?
Yeah, right on. Also, this weekend's release is what? Searching? So definitely going to try to watch that.
Check your local theaters. That one's playing limited release and super good.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to try to catch it and watch that for sure. We'll probably talk about that. I think we should talk about a cohesive unit for The Abyss. I think that'd be
definitely
great. Yeah,
right on.
Cool. All right, everybody. We are still undergoing some structure. So, like, I hope you enjoyed this new structure. Please leave us any feedback that you would like that you think would be helpful for us. And that's our show. Oh, outros, duh. Again, my name is Anthony Becerra. You can find me everywhere at TonyBTony_.
Okay. And you guys can find me online at Carrie Dlane. That's KARIDLANE.
And I'm Oliver Drennan. Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer. I really like this new format, so yay!
Yeah, right on. All right, so thank you all for joining us. Go watch some horror movies. We're going to try to catch Searching next weekend. So, and Frankenstein, homework. Bye. Have a good one.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.